under the Constitution of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Irene, will you please call the roll to determine the quorum?
Yes. Board Member Stansel.
Present.
Board Member, I'm sorry, Vice Chair Albano.
Present.
Chair Chang.
Present.
Board Member Helton is excused. Board Member Nicholson.
Here.
Board Member Ferguson.
Here.
Board Member Gross, Decker, and School Representative Davina are excused. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. Did everyone receive the minutes? Are there any corrections?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Yes. I'll second.
Irene, roll call, please.
Board Member Nicholson.
Yes.
Board Member Ferguson.
Yes.
Board Member Stansel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Albano.
Yes.
Chair Shen.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda, 56 Hart Grove Grade Zoning Map Amendment, application number 6185. The applicant has requested to continue to the October 15th meeting at 5:30. That will require a vote. Do we have it?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Irene, roll call, please.
Board Member Nicholson.
Yes.
Board Member Ferguson.
Yes.
Board Member Stansel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Albano.
Yes.
Chair Shen.
Yes.
The motion to continue.
Just to be clear for the record, we're continuing application 6185 56 Hart Grove Grade Zoning Map Amendment. Just for the record.
Yes.
Yes.
It's October 15th.
Yes, at 5:30.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the Palm Coast Import Auto Car Wash Special Exception, application number 6337. Mr. Nguyen.
Madam Chair, this application is basically a special exception for the existing import that has the vehicle sales. And basically existing body shop, so they want to convert that into the same use, which is of vehicle sales, but removing the body shop and including a car wash. So part of that, the car wash is required through a special exception. So Ms. Estelle Lentz will present that.
Thank you.
So I am recusing myself from voting on this. This is a project that I'm involved in, both as architect and general contractor for the project.
Thank you.
And I'll send over the form here shortly to your desk.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Estelle.
Hi, good evening, Madam Chairman and members of the board. Estelle is planner, senior planner now, with the City of Palm Coast. So this is a special exception for, it's requested by Palm Coast Import Auto for a car wash. And this is to allow the car wash in the COP 2 General Commercial Zoning District. And this shows a map of where the site is located. It's a 5-acre site located at 5700 East Highway 100. The site is currently improved as Palm Coast Import Auto. It has vehicle sales, vehicle repairs, and the owner intends to redevelop the entire site and add the car wash use. They do intend to keep the repair garage there also, vehicle sales and repairs, as well as add a car wash use. And the car wash use requires a special exception. That's why we're here. So the future land use map designation of the property is mixed use. It's bordered on the west and the east by a mixed use. To the north is the town center DRI Urban Core future land use map designation, and to the south is across Highway 100 is commercial high intensity county. The zoning map shows it to be COM 2. We've got COM 2 to the west as well as to the east. To the east is also PSP, public semi-public. To the north is the town center MPD, and to the south is county zoning C2, which is general commercial and shopping center. This is the site plan of how they propose to redevelop the site. So starting on the south side or the right side of the drawing, we've got State Road 200. They intend to keep the two existing access routes, points, I should say, onto State Road 100, so they won't have to get new permits from DOT. They're going to use existing connections. And as you come into the site, the new use will be the car wash building with the 18-bay detail area. They're showing the stacking over here. The site, the land development code only requires three stacking spaces for car washes. So you can see here they're exceeding the requirements. They'll continue the sales sort of use here in the sales building. They've got the car display lot surrounding the sales building and then the service building towards the rear. They are meeting all the code requirements for buffering. They're showing the 10-foot landscape buffer on the east and on the west, the 25-foot landscape buffer along State Road 100, and they're exceeding the buffering requirements in the rear. So to the north is the Town Center MPD zoning, and that's actually the Brookhaven townhouse multifamily development. So they're only required to do a DE or F buffer there, which would be a 10, 15, or 20-foot buffer, depending on if it was just vegetation or included a wall or a fence. As you can see, they're proposing over 120 feet of natural vegetation and then the stormwater pond. There is something of note, and it will be one of the conditions when we get to the recommendation. The Stormwater Division reviewed this plan and said that there's an existing ditch along the north side of the property. So that, they say, will have to remain. So that would be one of the conditions when we get there. So all development orders must be reviewed for the following five criteria at section 2.05.05 of the Land Development Code. So A, must not be in conflict with public interest, must be consistent with the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan. C, must not impose a significant liability or hardship on the city. D, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance. And E, must comply with all applicable government standards. And the planning staff reviewed the project for these five criteria and provided detailed findings in the staff report. But to summarize it, this petition will not create a nuisance hazard or any compatibility issues, as the proposed use will be compatible with the neighboring properties along State Road 100. The staff report identifies 10 policies and objectives of the comprehensive plan that are supported by this request. And should the special exception be approved, the next step will be the submittal of a technical site plan, which will be reviewed for compliance with the Land Development Code, and the applicant will have to meet all applicable government standards, including the Water Management District, et cetera. In addition to the five review criteria for all development orders, special exceptions must be reviewed for the criteria from section 2.07.03 of the Land Development Code. So the first one, A, is consistent with the specific requirements for that particular use as set forth in the Land Development Code. So during the next step, which would be the technical site plan, the project will be reviewed for all applicable requirements of the Land Development Code. The only thing that was really specific for car washes was the stacking requirement, that there has to be at least three stacking spaces for car washes. And again, they're exceeding that requirement. A B meets the concurrency requirements of the Land Development Code. Land Development Code Section 7.04.01 states that all proposed developments or improvements to property requiring a final development order shall be subject to concurrency review prior to the issuance of a final development order. And this will all be reviewed and must comply during the technical site plan and building permit process. And C is compatible with the surrounding neighborhoods and promotes the value of surrounding land, structures, or buildings. Compatibility shall be reviewed in light of the following. One is architectural design, and the proposed building will need to meet all the requirements of the Land Development Code, Chapter 13, Architectural Design Regulations. Two is fencing and screening, and as I mentioned when I had the slide for the conceptual site plan up, they are meeting or exceeding all the buffering requirements. Of course, this will be further reviewed with the technical site plan. Three, noise reduction, sight, and light control. No noise impacts are anticipated with this use, and the signage and lighting will be reviewed with the technical site plan and will be compliant with the Land Development Code. storm drainage and sanitation collection. The stormwater system will be redesigned with the redevelopment of the site. Of course, we'll have to meet code. And again, there's that drainage ditch on the back, which will be in the conditions. Police and fire protection, the fire standards will also be reviewed during the technical site plan review process. They'll have to demonstrate that a fire truck can get around the whole site with auto turn plans and that sort of thing. No significant fire or police risk is anticipated by this site. On and off site traffic control, as I mentioned, the access points onto State Road 100 already exist. And additionally, I would just point that out on the technical site, on the conceptual site plan, they are proposing an east-west connection, an access road. I'll go back there a second because I do want to show you that, point that out. So here you can see they're proposing an access road, so you won't have to go onto State Road 100 to access the developments to the east or the west of this process. So they're definitely complying with the requirement for interconnectivity between sites. So let's see, seven is off-street parking and loading. The applicant is proposing sufficient parking, and this will be further reviewed during the technical site plan review process. And other matters relevant to assuring that the proposed development site fosters desirable conditions and compatibility with the existing environment. Staff finds that the proposed use is compatible with the existing uses within the site, as well as the existing uses along State Road 100. And then I just wanted to include this slide just to show you all the development that's going on State Road 100, just between the Target Plaza, you know, that's bordered on the west by Beltaire, between there and Seminole Woods Boulevard. On the north side of State Road 100, you've got the Target Plaza, then the high school, you know, after Bulldog Drive, you've got the Wawa, and so much of this is new development, but all this commercial development. Then there's the Storage King. Town Center Commons is a new retail center that's going in. The subject property is outlined in yellow. Then we've got AK Tires, church. There's another new plaza going in between the church and the existing Gibbs Chevrolet sites, and that's going to be a bank and some, I think, fast food restaurants. And we've got the Gibbs Chevrolet dealership, and then the other two plazas with the Tijuana Flats and Panera. On the south side of 100, starting at Seminole Woods, we've got Racetrack, followed by by BJ's and all the BJ's out parcels. I'm sure you're familiar with the restaurants that are there. There's a bank, and then Chick-fil-A, I think, is going in there. Then to the west of that, this area that I have that says Platinum Landings Big Box with out parcels, that's actually going to be the next project that you're going to look at tonight. Jose will bring forward the rezoning and the flume amendments. It's currently in the county, but it's being annexed in. They're going to go through zoning and land use, and we've already looked at some of their conceptual plans for the development there. And then we've got the Airport Commons, you know, that's where Planet Fitness is, and I think the Bronx Pizza, and those. There's a stage two or phase two of the Airport Commons that's also going in there. And then, of course, the airport. So just wanted to show you that, you know, with all this commercial development, you know, having a car wash here on the existing, you know, vehicle sales and repair is definitely compatible with the area. Regarding public participation, the applicant was required to mail notices to the abutting property owners at least 14 days in advance of the public hearing, and they did so by mailing them by August 29th, and we have not heard anything from the public, positive or negative, no correspondence regarding this request. The next steps will be the technical site plan and then followed by the building permit. And planning staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board determine this project is consistent with the city's comprehensive plan and land development code and approve application number 6337 subject to the following conditions. One is the stormwater comment. The existing stormwater ditch on the northern property boundary shall remain. Improvements and required easements shall be determined during the technical site plan review. And two is utilities. They advise that a 4-inch reclaim main is located at Bulldog Drive, approximately 1,200 feet to the west of the site. City utilities and the applicant shall evaluate the potential need and benefit of extending the 4-inch reclaim main from Bulldog Drive to service the site during the subsequent technical site plan application, and that's something the applicant can perhaps address. My understanding is if they go through the expense of extending the main, that in the long run, the fees, the meter fees associated for reclaim is a lot less than would be for potable. So that's why they wanted to discuss it. Would save money in the long run. And the applicant is in attendance.
So the applicant, please approach.
This is the image Mr. Alfano has provided for the project.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm James Alfano with Bespoke Group Architects and General Contractors. Our address is 26 Old Kings Road, Suite 2B, Palm Coast, Florida, 32137.
Thank you. If you make your presentation.
Sure. No, we don't really have a presentation. We just wanted to kind of hit on a couple of key points. Kind of also kind of bring through the history of this site. So the existing Palm Coast Import Auto started out as Dave Gibbs Chevrolet in 1977. And then in the early 80s, his brother Tom Gibbs bought the property and operated Tom Gibbs Chevrolet there until 2007. In 2007, the new Tom Gibbs Chevrolet was completed to the east, next to Panera Bread, in front of the new BJ's. So they kept Palm Coast Import Auto, two major reasons. One is there's a need for used car sales. And then in addition, they have service department and body shop. Considering the amount of new development that is going on in the area, we don't have a slide of kind of what's there now, but it is blighted. I think the original property is about 60 to 65 years old. So the owners wanted to redevelop that and bring it up to today's standards. So on the screen here, you'll see kind of a bird's eye view of what we propose the project to look like. At the bottom of the screen, running from left to right, is the service road that runs parallel to Route 100. So it's we're helping with the city's interconnectivity to ultimately put all the pieces of the puzzle together, so you'll be able to go from Wawa all the way, hopefully eventually up to the hospital, and run parallel to Route 100 as a service road. And I believe that the same plan applies for the west side, or excuse me, the south side of Route 100. So. Some of the other key facts on this is, you know, we're trying to bring something and redevelopment, bring it up to date. The car wash is an important element of this whole project for many reasons, and one of the main reasons are there are several car washes in town now. Some of them used to have full service, and they all kind of went away from full service. This car wash is proposed to be a full service car wash, so you'll be able to either A, go just through the tunnel, either dry your car, wash your car yourself, you know, that room, or there'll be attendants that will handle the full service detailing of the car, and further detail would be handled towards the back in the service department. So, the other thing is, this new project allows for more both part-time and full-time employees. They anticipate up to a 50% increase in employees with the redeveloped project. So I think that's what we have. I also have the Tom Gibbs, the owner of Tom Gibbs Chevrolet here. So if you have any questions, he's more than capable to answer them.
Thank you. In terms of planning board, are there any questions?
How many new buildings net addition from what's there now? I realize this is a site plan per se.
Yes, so we're pretty close to what design-wise. So we'll have four buildings on this property. We'll have a sales building that is 3,000 square feet, a 10,000 square foot service department, and the car wash building is kind of can be somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 square feet, depending on the build out. And then we have just a covered staging area. So the overall impact of buildings is less there now. So right now, there's a existing car dealership. There's covered carports to showcase cars. There's also a covered service area at the back. There's a full service department. There are two, one full body shop building and an ancillary body shop building in the back. And then if you notice, everything is kind of pulled towards the front, which would be Route 100, and then the rest of the property is kind of just grass and cars are parked. The new development kind of pushes things towards the rear of the property, which I think will help with the sight lines along Route 100. I think it's just a good addition to the area, especially we have this next project after this that is going to be right across the street. So I think things are redeveloping in the right direction for this gateway corridor.
I know I've used a body shop there once before, a couple of years ago. I had good service there, but it's old. And I think this is a terrific, visually, it's going to be nicer to people see it. The old one compared to the new one, it's going to be a nicer looking area. It'll fit the area better. And it looks like it'll be better for business, and they'll be able to do better business, maybe bring some more employment. I think it's a great idea.
Thanks.
Any additional questions? Okay, we're open for public. Thank you. We're open for public comment. Please approach and state your name and address for the record.
James Erza, W Session. Yes, a good idea. I have a couple concerns I could have factored in here, but I didn't see them. First of all, Route 100, when they repaved it, should have been made by three lanes each way. There's so much traffic down, it's ridiculous. And even if I have a service road, I think that's going to be great. I just wonder about if you're coming west to get there, there's going to be a turnoff lane to get there, because traffic just backs up terribly sometimes. I'll give you an example. The new hospital, if you're going west on the parkway, the new hospital, the turnoff lane there, they should have made it 50 feet longer, but when you get to Bridgehaven, people simultaneously turn left and right and it backs up traffic. If they would have extended that lane to Bridgehaven, it would alleviate a lot of that traffic. So they have a problem here with the storage place going west. The storage place turnoff lane, then a blank, and then another turnoff lane for Wawa. That should have been all one lane so that people don't get confused and run into a ditch. So a turnoff lane going into that complex would be great. Now, I'm concerned about eastbound trying to get there, because even if you're at Volto trying to get turn against that blinking yellow arrow, you got to wait forever unless the light changes. And I think trying to cross a median with all the traffic is going to be a problem. So if you can figure out how to get that figured out, that would be great. And also, that's still my only concern, just turnoff lanes and access because of all the traffic on the 100. The only thing I'm worried about, and not worried about, but they're trying to build that car wash down there by Tractor Supply. I hope it doesn't affect you or affect them in a way. I don't think it's going anywhere for a long time, but I think with you being full service, especially since Mr. Car Wash took over the one up there in the north end, they dropped the ball with detail. I should take the detail and great. It's great there. Now, if you have it here, you have to go all the way down to Flag Beach. And so this is, you can address those issues with their access east and west, turnoff lanes and stuff like that. I think you've got a real winner. You were having a winner already, so it's a good idea, so good luck with it.
And may I answer this question?
Yes.
So to answer your question on the egress and ingress of the property, so what's nice is that there's both, in the median of 100, there's both a D-cell turning lane that goes into the existing property, head both eastbound and westbound. And because the city has designated this entire area the Gateway Corridor, the goal of that is to get this interconnectivity road. So basically, when it's all built out, we'll actually have a service road on both sides of 100, north and south. So, for example, the storage facility next door, while they don't have easy access to come in from the east, they'll actually be able to go, eighth of a mile right next door and use that turning lane and then just turn left into the service road and get to theirs, to the storage. So
yeah, many times I've been down, I still remember seeing where sort of cut off there, if they came to that place or not. So
so if you're headed eastbound, you can turn left into Palm Coast and Port Auto. across the median, and then if you're coming west down, there's a...
Again, you just got to charge me to ever make that left turn. That's a big problem, but we'll get to there anyway. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments from members of the public? Seeing none, we will close public comment. We return to the board. Are there any comments? I just have one question. Can you put up the applicant's slide, please? Okay, where the gate is. The hours of operation for the sales office and the car wash would probably be about the same, right?
Yes. The reason for the gate is Sundays can be seasonal for the car sales. And if you go there now, if you go to Tom Gibbs Chevrolet or any of the other car lots in town, they kind of park cars to prevent people from going onto the lot. You know, unfortunately, there's theft of catalytic converters and things of that nature. So that kind of protects and blocks off the sales and service side, because we anticipate the car wash having probably longer hours than the sales.
And what about people, that potential buyers who may be test driving the vehicles, since there's only one lane in and one lane out? The flow of traffic for people that are actually going to the car wash, if somebody's taking your 16-year-old, 17-year-old to get their first car, and they're trying to exit out of the parking lot from the sales lot onto 100 and the flow of traffic for the car wash.
So this is very conceptual. So our next step, if this gets approved, will be to engage with a civil engineer and then to further develop the traffic flow patterns. So.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Lynn.
Yeah, Madam Chair, if I may, and HEC members, just want to provide some feedback and updates for the concern on 100 and on Palm Coast Parkway. The good news in the Palm Coast Parkway is that we're going to extend the westbound left turn all the way to Bridge Haven. There's a project in place for that. State Road 100 is under the jurisdiction of the Florida Department of Transportation. We are awaiting for their coordination plan from Belterre all the way to Old Kings Road. So once we have that coordination plan, it will, in hope that it will be a lot better in terms of traffic congestion. And then once that is completed, then we'll turn over to the city, and we have a small flexibility in adjusting what the actual condition out there would do, and then we can tweak timing for the side streets. So just want to give you that up.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no additional comments, do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve application number 6337, subject to the following condition. Stormwater, the existing stormwater ditch on the northern property boundary shall remain. Improvements and required easements shall be determined during the technical site plan review. Number two, utilities. A 4-inch reclaim main is located at Bulldog Drive, approximately 1,200 feet to the west. City utilities and the applicant shall evaluate potential need and benefit of extending the 4-inch reclaim main from Bulldog Drive to the service the site during the subsequent technical site plan application.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Irene, roll call, please.
Board Member Nicholson.
Yes.
Board Member Ferguson.
Yes.
Board Member Stancil.
Yes.
Chair Shank.
Yes.
The motion carries 4-0.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Ordinance 2025-XX, a future land use map designation for 38.8 plus or minus acres from Flagler County Commercial, High Intensity and Residential, High Density, the City of Palm Coast Mixed Use. Mr. Nguyen.
Yes, Madam Chair and HEC members, if you recall, back in February, I brought to City Council the annexation for the first reading. And then City Council wanting to know what will be developed here. Their major concern is residential development along this corridor. So they have asked the applicant to bring back the land use amendment and also rezoning. And that's what the applicant is doing right now. So we have it scheduled for the second reading, which is adoption in November, for in sequence the annexation, the new, and then the rezoning in that sequence. So today you will hear from Mr. Jose Papa on the future land use amendment, and then also the rezoning. So just to give you the background.
Thank you. Mr. Papa.
Sure. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. Jose Papa from the Community Development Department. And I will combine the presentation for the Fluman rezoning as we've historically done. Of course, you will have to help vote on each item separately. Just to provide some background, the property is about 38.8 acres. Currently owned by Flagler Pines Properties, LLC. Their agent, Mr. Livingston, is here as the representative for the owner. As described, this parcel is about a half mile west of Seminole Woods Boulevard on the south side of State Road 100. And as Mr. Lynn already mentioned, we have two items before you tonight, the future land use map amendment from Flagler County designations of residential high density and commercial high intensity to propose the City of Palm Coast designation of mixed use. At the same time, there is a companion amendment to change the zoning designation, again from Flagler County designations of general commercial, C2 and R3B, which is a multifamily zoning district, and changing that to City of Palm Coast general commercial, COM2. So, as mentioned, the subject property is currently in unincorporated Flagler County, and I'm not going to repeat all this, but we expect the second reading to come sometime in November for the annexation and these two items. So this shows you what is existing is on the left-hand side of the screen. It's currently about 10 and a half acres of commercial high intensity, and 28 acres of residential high density. What is proposed is to convert everything, that's a total of about 38.8 acres, to mixed use, which is essentially the city's commercial land use designation. Again, the companion zoning map amendment. Currently on the left, you have the Flagler County designations of C2 for that 10 acres, and about 28 acres of this parcel is currently zoned multifamily. And again, the proposed zoning for the entire parcel, 38.8 acres, will be general commercial or CON2. The applicant hosted, as required by the code, the applicant hosted a neighborhood meeting on April 15, 2025. No members of the public attended, and these items have also been advertised and posted as required by our land development code. I will now get into some of the details of the future land use map amendment. With the land use map amendment, we typically look at the existing conditions or the existing maximum development potential compare that to the maximum development potential for the site. In this case, I want to note that due to the presence of a zoning map amendment to COM2, which has a maximum FAR of 0.40. And along with, really, we've received some documents that allowed us to start reviewing some of the proposed uses for the site. I thought a better comparison might be to use the maximum floor area in COM2 and use that to compare to what's currently existing. So, again, and these are maximums, right? Typically what we see is that with a maximum development potential of 0.40, maybe only half of that floor area ratio gets used. So again, just if you're gonna look at the maximum, then under the proposed mixed-use flume designation, compared to the current flume designation, which only has about 10 and a half acres of commercial, you could potentially see an increase of up to almost 500,000 square feet of commercial uses. Again, these are net increases using the maximum development potential. So looking at the public facilities analysis and looking at what the maximum potentials would be, comparatively, as you can see, the net change in transportation, there's approximately 1,500 more trips in the PM peak hour. There could be an increase of up to 23,327 gallons per day of potable water, while seeing a decrease in the sanitary sewer demand of about 3,000 gallons per day. Solid waste, since commercial uses typically hire our own private collector, and with the elimination of the residential uses on the site, again, we're rezoning to all commercial come to. And so by that rezoning, it eliminates the potential for that multifamily zoning that you have in the back there. And so that results in a decrease, not only in solid waste, but of course, if no residential, then you decrease the demand on parks and also the decrease on school capacity. And those results are netted in this spreadsheet. Looking at the environmental impact of this proposed designation, this amendment will not negatively impact the local topography or prevent the proposed development that is permissible within the proposed plume designation that's commercial. There are no special flood hazard areas on the property, so no negative impacts to the floodplain are anticipated. The site is not within an aquifer recharge area or within a wellhead protection zone. We have a historic and cultural assets study that's been provided. There are no impact to any historic or cultural assets on the site. And there's no change on the need for an endangered species report, which will be provided at the time that they come in with their site plan application. This change does not require the need for the developer to go through the St. John's River Water Management District for a permit for its impact on the moderate quality wetlands that are found on site. As if you just look at the colors on the right-hand side of the screen, you can see that the mixed use is very consistent with everything that's found to the north of State Road 100. Those properties are all designated mixed use also. The area to the east, which is now developed with BJ's and the other out parcels, although those have mainly been annexed into the city, we are waiting for the completion of the last development on that site, at which time we will come back to the planning board to change those county designations to city designations. And what likely you're going to see is the same change that we're seeing here tonight, that the industrial and residential high commercial designations on the properties to the east will be changed to mixed use, probably along with a zoning designation of a general commercial, consistent with what's being done here. So looking at the different policies in the comprehensive plan and the compatibility of this, or the consistency of this request with the policies in the comprehensive plan, one, it is compatible with approximate uses and development patterns, as we saw in the previous slide. The mixed-use designation is consistent with existing and potential uses, and the designations and the scale of development and intensity of the surrounding area. If approved, the 28 acres abutting Flagler Airport, which is designated as Flagler County Residential High Density, will be designated as mixed-use. The potential uses and designation, along with the companion zoning of general commercial, is more compatible with the Flagler County Airport. The current plume, that's the county designation, only allows residential. Under the proposed amendment, it will not introduce uses that are not already found in the area. uses that are to be permitted within COM 2, you already see along this corridor, whether it's next door, whether it's Airport Commons, down the street, whether it's at that corner of Belcair and 100, where you have Culver's and the car wash and Starbucks. All those uses are consistent with the uses that you should find developed on this site. Looking at other comprehensive plan policies, this proposed amendment is consistent with the policy for the efficient land use patterns and not increasing the cost of providing and maintaining public facilities. Water and sewer is available along State Road 100 to serve this property. This request is consistent with a policy to encourage development in areas with available public facilities, infrastructure, and services. And again, that's consistent with the previous policy. This amendment is consistent with a policy to designate urban densities and intensities in areas where planned or existing capacities are available. Again, we have the infrastructure available on 100. And finally, it's consistent with policy, again, to optimize the utilization of the city's existing infrastructure, public services, and facilities by placing economic employment hubs in areas that are currently served by the city's infrastructure services and systems. To summarize the findings of this proposed amendment, one, there are public facilities available to accommodate the impact of the amendment. Two, the environmental standards for development will still need to be met. This amendment will not change that. The request for flume designation is consistent with the surrounding land use and developmental pattern along State Road 100. And the request for flume is appropriate on State Road 100, again, due to its consistency with what's around it. And again, as we've already shown and demonstrated, flume amendment is consistent with other various policies of the comprehensive plan. So due to those findings, staff is recommending that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find this application 6312 consistent with the comprehensive plan and recommend make a recommendation to City Council to approve the flume amendment from Flagler County residential high density and commercial high intensity to City of Palm Coast designation of mixed use. So moving on to the companion zoning map amendment. The existing zoning, parallel to what you saw with the flume amendment, the 10 acres directly abutting State Road 100 is designated general commercial, C2, county designation. And the remaining 28 acres is currently designated as multifamily residential, R3B. I believe that allows a maximum density of up to 9 units per acre. So what's proposed is changing everything to general commercial, COM 2. And these are just a comparison of the different site development requirements between those different zoning districts. Probably the main difference here is that under COM 2, which is of course found throughout the city, you have a potential maximum building height of 100 feet. But I do want to note that its proximity to the airport and the need for a review from the airport makes it unlikely that you can even get anything, probably 35 feet is probably more likely permissible height within this site. So we looked at this proposed amendment against the criteria analysis established in section 20505. That is that the proposed development must not be in conflict or with or contrary to public interest. The proposed development must be consistent with the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this plan development code. The proposed development must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship for the city. The proposed development must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance or constitute a threat to the general health, welfare, or safety of the city's inhabitants. And finally, proposed development must comply with all other applicable local, state, federal law, statutes, ordinances, regulations, or codes. So based on those criteria A, it's not in conflict with contrary public interest. Again, the rezoning will provide opportunities for employment and consumer services to what we can agree is a growing population in the city, and actually Flagler County. The location is appropriate for COM 2. Again, you have other properties surrounding this that are already designated COM 2. It's consistent with the existing development pattern. Coordination between Flagler County and city staff, along with the developer, to protect airport operations and the proposed uses on the subject property will need to happen. It eliminates the multifamily residential zoning district. However, the COM 2, under our land development code, may permit a mixed-use project that meets the provisions of the Live Local Act, which, of course, is the Live Local Act is a state statute that allows for residential uses in commercially designated areas. But again, it must meet the requirements of what statutes will allow. And again, this amendment will further the City Council's objective to encourage and facilitate commercial development. Is it consistent with the comprehensive plan and the LDC? Not to go through ad nauseum with this, as we presented in the flume, it is consistent with various policies in the comprehensive plan regarding having available infrastructure and promoting intensity where you have that available infrastructure. It must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship. Again, there are water and sewer services available to serve the project. And through the development review process, further analysis of development's impact on public infrastructure will be completed. It must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance. Again, the subject parcel is located on the developing commercial core. And as we saw earlier tonight, the redevelopment of the car lot, we have many developments that are going on along this corridor. So it is consistent with what's occurring on this corridor. And finally, still, if this application is approved, the future development of the subject site will still have to continue through development process, such as a technical site plan review or a controlling non-residential master plan. And therefore, additional details will be provided as to the design and operations of the site to ensure its consistency with the land development plan. And again, this amendment will not change the requirements for this property to still comply with all sections of the land development code and the requirements of other applicable state, federal agency rules and regulations. And going through another criteria analysis in the land development code, very similar to what you've seen before. Again, it's consistency with the comp plan, its impact on the environment and natural resources, its impact on the economy, its impact on public infrastructure and public services, any changes in circumstances or conditions affecting the area, its compatibility with approximate uses, and whether it accomplishes a legitimate public purpose. Again, looking at all these different criteria, what we'll see is that, again, it's consistency with the comprehensive plan. I will not repeat, but we find this to be consistent with the comprehensive plan. As previously addressed regarding its impact on the environment and natural resources, there'll be no impact on the floodplain. It's not within the aquifer recharge area or within a wildlife protection zone. There are no historical cultural assets on the site. They will need to provide an endangered species report at the time of their site plan application. And this project will still require coordination and a permit from the Water Management District for any impacts to moderate quality wetlands. Its impact on the economy of the affected area. Well, again, 100 is a developing commercial core, so it's consistent with the activities that are going on right now with 100. And again, State Road 100 serves the entire county. It stretches from Flagler Beach to Bonnell. And so what we expect is that, of course, the patrons of this site for its commercial use, it's not just residents of Palm Coast, but certainly the entire county. Another one thing to look at is that, of course, 100 has a direct connection to Interstate 95, and it makes it an attractive corridor to provide services, even for travelers using Interstate 95. And I think I've already gone over the last bullet. Its impacts on different infrastructure. Again, as we saw in the comprehensive plan analysis, there will be a slight net increase in demand for water service, and a slight decrease in demand for sewer service, looking at the maximum development potential. There's also reclaimed water line available about half mile to the east of the subject property, which may be available for the irrigation of the landscaping at this site. The elimination of any potential residential uses in R3B zoning eliminates the demand on school facilities and parks and recreation facilities. And but again, the qualifier would be that, the Live Local Act may permit that, but looking at where it might be exempt, right, from the Live Local Act. It's just something that will have to be looked at more closely when the technical site plan comes in. But again, under all the documents we've received from the applicant, there's no indication that any residential uses are proposed on the property. We have big box retailers and a number of out parcels for fast food restaurants, sit-down restaurants, and even a clinic or a medical office or professional office site. And impacts on infrastructure, again, potential net increase of 1548 additional PM peak hour total trips. But again, as we go through the technical site plan, when these details come to be looked at more closely, we will get a better picture of what those additional peak hours would be, what mitigation might be necessary. And again, based on the maximum development potential difference and based on the five-year window to 2029, it will have an impact on Stanford 100 level of service. But again, as we analyze it through the technical site plan approval process, any traffic issues that transportation concurrency issues that may come up, and any mitigation strategies, including proportionate share, will be assessed and will be applied at the time of that final site plan application. Any changes in circumstances or conditions affecting the area. Again, 100 is a hub of construction activity at this point for retail and other commercial services, and that's been going on for a few years now. And so this proposed amendment seeks to continue that trend of development and is consistent with that trend of development along the corridor. And all this is necessitated by the potential annexation of the subject parcel into the corporate limits of Palm Coast. And with any annexed properties, eventually we have to change its designation from, typically we annex from unincorporated Flagler County. So the Flagler County designations will find its equivalent or most similar designation within the City of Palm Coast Comprehensive Plan or Zoning Map designation. Its compatibility with proximate uses and development patterns, including impacts of health, safety, and welfare surrounding residents. Just to be repetitive, the parcel is located on the developing commercial corridor. The uses likely to be developed on this property are going to be consistent with those that you find along State Road 100. And so there won't be the introduction of new uses that are not already found within this corridor. And again, future development of this site will still require a site plan review. And additional details will be provided to ensure that the design and operations of this site will be consistent with the requirements of our land development code. And whether it accomplishes a legitimate public purpose, having a growing population, the demand for commercial use increases also. Our population has grown about 17% since 2020, and so the need for more commercial or service uses are demanded by that population growth. And so, again, this expands on commercial use where you have the available services already. Any potential volume of traffic that may result from the subject property may most, at this time, may most readily be accommodated on a four-lane major arterial like State Road 100. And again, rezoning does not eliminate the need for further technical or legal to address the impacts or deficiencies that may need to be mitigated prior to approval. To sum up, to summarize our findings, public facilities are available to accommodate the impacts of the zoning amendment on this site. The requested zoning amendment meets the development criteria of Land Development Code Sections 20505 and 20603, and this requested zoning is consistent with the comprehensive plan and unified land development code. So at this time, staff is recommending that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find this application, 6313, consistent with the comprehensive plan, and recommend that City Council approve the proposed zoning map amendment from Flagler County General Commercial and Multifamily Residential to City of Palm Coast General Commercial. And the next steps for these both these applications, they'll come to City Council for approval of two public hearings, and at that second public hearing, they will also hear the annexation ordinance. And beyond that, if approved, if this parcel is annexed to the city and this bloom and rezoning is approved, the developer will still be required to submit for a technical site plan application prior to developing the site. And depending on the gross square footage of the project, it may be required to come back to either the PLDRB or City Council. Staff is here for any questions, but the applicant's team is in attendance, and I believe they do have a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Papa. Applicants, Mr. Livingston. Please state your name and address for the record.
Chair Livingston of Livingston & Story, 391 Palm Coast Parkway, Southwest, number 1, 32137. My presentation is fairly redundant to what they presented, so I can go through it, or I can go to questions and maybe refer to those slides, whatever is the most efficient. I think probably the best thing would be to go to the last slide, which is the pending site plan, and then we can track back, but there's nothing in my presentation that doesn't track with what Jose just presented to you. We've already submitted site plan applications with the city. They're obviously pending because we're still in the county, so they're just being submitted for comment. But this is essentially the site plan that we're pursuing that's supported by the land use change and the zoning change. And I think probably best, since Jose does such a good job of going through the actual comprehensive plan, the development code requirements, is to answer any questions you all may have. And then if we need to jump around the slides, we can do that. That should save time, I think, give you more time to ask questions.
Thank you. We'll return to the planning board. Members of the planning board, you have any questions?
Yes,
Mr. Perkins.
This is a question that I think about a lot in terms of annexation. Why does the county so willing to just let Palm Coast annex this property and other properties in general?
Well, that's an interesting question. For this particular property, we're actually in what's known as the kind of mandatory annexation area. So years ago, the City of Flagler Beach, City of Palm Coast, Flagler County, with one other jurisdiction, and the gardens development in the unincorporated county got into a little litigation over water services and service areas. And there was a settlement agreement that was entered into, and the jurisdiction essentially sliced up the county based upon their statutory service areas for water. And some areas were to remain unincorporated even if the city provided services because the city lines were in the area. And many areas were considered to be what we call mandatory annexation zones. This particular one is in that mandatory annexation zone.
What makes one versus another?
I think it was mostly with the available services at the time when they negotiated the agreement. And also some concerns about encroachment. So you have like the what's now the Miranda Bay project area on John Anderson was that was one of the more contentious areas. That's where the gardens project was. And other areas, I think it had to do with the city expanding too much in some people's eyes, or it being the perfect place for the city to expand in other people's eyes. But I wasn't at the negotiating table when that settlement agreement was negotiated. But as far as the map is concerned, this particular portion of the corridor was always going to be annexed into the city. The condition was, instead of annexing everything at the time, which in retrospect might have been a better idea for planning purposes, the trigger event is the request for water services, and that triggers annexation. So we knew we were coming in. The BJ's development being a perfect example, also Airport Commons, so the property to the east and the property to the west, those properties actually developed in the county and then annexed in after the development was completed, with the understanding that, you know, when water turned on, that's what triggered annexation. And that was through negotiated annexation agreements that track the requirements of the settlement agreement that allowed the developers to move forward because the entitlements were already there. In this case, we did have the multifamily entitlements, so this technically could be developed in the county under those same standards and then annexed into the city with those developments vested as developed. But because we're pivoting towards a much more compatible commercial use, we wanted to get the annexation out. So in February, I went before the City Council for the first reading of the annexation petition, and City Council was rightfully concerned that, oh, well, you have residential entitlements here, and we don't necessarily want residential there. So if you want to come into the city, we're going to want a commitment that it's not going to be residential. Obviously, the easiest way to commit to that is by petitioning for a preliminary zoning change that brings it into commercial zoning. And so that was the direction I was given by council. We were hoping to get them in a little faster, but as you can see from the analysis that Jose went through, there's a lot of data analysis, traffic studies, environmental assessments, cultural resource assessments that all need to be completed and up to date for the submittal. And now we're here before you to discuss the commercial. I do want to address the local concern because, you know, that's a technically, from my perspective, that's kind of irrelevant to what we're trying to do tonight because we're trying to determine consistency with your comp plan and with your land development code, and that's a state level of law. But as written, it trumps local provisions, and so it is a legitimate concern. I spoke to my client. If it does come down to a concern that somebody could still sneak in a residential project that's not wanted because of the live local preemption standards and the local, that we would be willing to restrict the property through some kind of deed restriction to make sure that doesn't happen. So, because that's not our intention. Our intention would be to get this approved and start going through the site planning process to get this constructed as soon as, you know, feasibly possible. There's obviously a lot that goes into that in terms of the technical side of the site planning, as well as the concurrency management system going through with the transportation issues. And I also want to make, because a really good question was asked earlier with the last application about the length of turn lanes. That's why I wanted to have this site plan put up. You can see those turn lanes that are showing at all three of our access points. So we've tried to design this to be as best for interconnectivity as we possibly can. So that cul-de-sac that you see there, that's there because we had to put it there at the time we planned it. But I am working on, and I have the actual easement agreements on my desk. I'm waiting for legal descriptions to create a cross easement into the Airport Commons Phase 2. So we're going to have a connection to that once we get that easement established. And then we have these three different access points. The most easternmost access point is actually on the BJ's property. There's already an existing covenant restriction easement that's been established to allow joint access there. So then you have these two other access points, and as you can see, each of those access points has a turn lane. And it's really hard to see the dimensions on without zooming in, but you can see that the turn lanes are all about the same length, and that the westernmost lot is 300-plus. Tell you what it's having on the screen. It is 378 feet. And the turn lane is actually longer than that, or about the same length. So we're talking about 300-foot turn lanes that are going to essentially create a third lane at three different access points to get people off of the main travel lanes and into the development. We can't do anything about the northern side of 100 until the DOT gives us planning, but this is all in conjunction with that. You know, as we get the land use done, then we can incorporate those anticipated trips into the DOT's planning and then plan what has always been anticipated to be a six-lane road in this segment of 100, going back to the original town center DLR planning. This has always anticipated to be a six-lane road. And so those turn lanes would provide some relief until such time we get that, and hopefully with this development and the other developments in the area, generate substantial impact fees to help fund that.
Thank you.
What businesses do you see coming in here?
It shows you a potential big box. That would be the targeted business. And then there's a gas station, I think it's been planned, which is the one site that you see on the frontage parcel. Beyond that, we're a little early in the game there. I know that they are talking to various people, but they would all be contingent agreements until the land use is completed. Staff will, I think all of this, except maybe the out parcels, would be of sufficient intensity that you would see those applications come in for technical site plan. And maybe an individual out parcel wouldn't, because it would be small enough to fall into the administrative approval process, but the larger ones you would see come before you with the final end user probably identified.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions? Yes.
Is it big box or looks like grocery?
I think the retail is generally to be big box or groceries, and then there's a secondary building there, yeah, which would serve some smaller retail type function. Again, I don't know who the end users are. They generally tell me what the entitlements they need, but you can see kind of, you can imagine what would potentially fit in there under the comp 2 zoning, permitted uses of comp 2 zoning.
I have a question for staff, Paul in particular. Now that we're seeing this enhanced activity on Route 100, and then we have these our interconnectivity requirements, what kind of power does the city have to get existing businesses to help put all the pieces of the puzzle together? For example, on the project that I'm on across the street from this, we have the new project that's complete that has a connecting road. Then our project will. Then the next thing you know, we're next to the church. So is there ability to get the church to add this road, or are we all investing a lot of money just with hopes that these roads get connected at some point?
Yeah, that's a good question. We are thankful because of the policy that we have in the comprehensive plan. Policy requires interconnectivities, especially for commercial development. So if there's an existing development already and does not have that access, then we basically will, it depends on funding. The city will basically follow through in the future, you know, to have that connected. But any development or redevelopment, then we will require connectivity to the adjacent properties. So for this one, you can see that Mr. Lipsenthing spoke about that on the west side, they are working on the easement connection to the airport coming too. And then we basically would have, the city is also working with private parties there in order to connect the 200 feet shy of connecting to Seminole Woods in front of BJ's. So we are working on that. If we are successful with that, then we have basically a parallel corridor from basically the airport all the way to Seminole Woods. So we're still proceeding with that. And to the west of that, we also continue to want to have a parallel corridor all the way to Belton. So our ability is important is the our policy. And our policy requires that if any new development comes in, we have to provide interconnectivity with adjacent properties. So that's, you know, that's what we have basically can condition new developments to come in. With existing properties, one of them, for example, along Palm Coast Parkway on the north side, we the working with them in order to have that parallel corridor along where the academy there on the north side, you know, it's connected to
Sunshine Academy.
Yes, exactly. And then, but we have a pond there, so we already approached with the CDD there in order to provide some easement so that we can basically connect further to the east side.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
Thank you. Any additional questions from the planning board?
I have one question. You mentioned at the very beginning that the city council did not had a concern about residential. What was the concern about residential?
The concern about residential is that a zoning or multi residential from the county basically will come in, and because we're not sure, because basically one of them is that COM2 could potentially have residential. And the city council wants to know what actually is the intention of the applicant to come in. Are they going to come in with all commercial, or is there going to be some kind of a mixed use including residential to it?
So what is there, if they don't want residential?
It's just the proximity of the airport to what would be essentially a residential project. The proximity of that residential project to the airport, I think, is what's of concern.
So it's from a safety perspective?
The safety perspective, I think it's no secret at the public meetings. We City Council hears a lot of complaints about airport noise, so to add residential, I would say less than a quarter mile, less than half a mile from the airport.
That was a big concern. And just to address your question, one of the interesting things about the way the annexation law in Florida works is that because there's private property rights, when you annex into a municipal jurisdiction, you don't lose your entitlements from the county. They stay with you, and they're still exercisable and developable until the comp plan amendment in the city occurs, which is then basically pulls that land into your land use jurisdiction. So the city didn't want that land to come in with those residential entitlements because they didn't. Frankly, the council didn't agree with those residential entitlements on that property for the reason that Jose just said. So in order to make sure that they understood our commitment to making this a commercial development, they tabled that to a time uncertain. So we're going to have to re-notice the second reading for that annexation, which would need to be noticed anyway for the adoption hearing under the statute. And as soon as we get to first reading, assuming the city council agrees with the application and schedule for second reading, then the annexation will be noticed and it would all happen at the same time.
Yeah, in all practicality, they are limited with height restriction because of proximity to the airport. In order for them to make it profitable, they're going to have at least three levels of any kind of residential development. And I don't think that they will be able to do that because of the height restriction. So, in practicality, residential is going to be very problematic or not profitable for developers.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Livens. We're now open for public comment. Please approach, state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, sir. So, time of session. You just pulled my thunder over here. Yeah, the big thing to come up with City Council is flooding, airport noise, insufficient roads, and businesses to get jobs. That section is right by the airport, right? So they know how long it is.
Yes, sir.
Especially multifamily. It's crazy for residential. You're going to have more people complaining about noise. So putting commercial in there is going to be great. Have more jobs. We have enough people who need jobs and the things there. And I noticed that you said about maybe more lanes and more access roads. That's going to be great. If I can address you, sir, for a second, you mentioned about the Sunshine Academy access, which is related. We were talking about that the owner of Purdy's up there. If they ever put that through there, that's going to be a racetrack through there, people trying to avoid the parkway itself. So when you do that, be careful, make sure you get it to the where it's traffic is under control. By the way, left turn lanes of Pine Lane Park will need to be extended also.
That is also going to be extended.
Thank you, sir.
That's balanced
out. I've been told that for 2 years at City Council. But the 61,000 homes that are proposed out of Monell, I think they're supposed to build commercial and stuff out there to be self-sustained in a sense, but I think a lot of those people are going to want to come out and coming out 100 across to this whole corridor here. So it could add more traffic to the area. But keeping the residential, especially multifamily, we don't need more residential. We got plenty of that. And when you build this thing, I ask two requests, leave some trees and please build this on Arby's out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional members of the public? Seeing none, we'll return to the board. Are there any additional questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, I do have a couple of questions and comments. Mr. Livingston, do you mind approaching? So it seems to be that the primary concern as to why you had to come before us before when you went to City Council for the annexation is the residential, the potential to develop residential
business properties. As far as the timing, I mean, normally, sometimes we process applications concurrently, and other times we get the annexation out of the way and then come in with the land use change. That was my plan, but because City Council wanted to see the zoning changes before they finalized the annexation, we put the hold on that and I filed the applications. That's why I'm here before tonight.
So the owner could potentially be, we could approve this tonight and City Council could still deny the annexation. Because ultimately, Live Local is in place and even a COM 2 designation won't prevent a Live Local project if it meets all the criteria. And you mentioned your client potentially putting a deed restriction. So that's further limiting the potential use of the property. Further limiting the use of the property. That still doesn't, would that mean that with a deed restriction, it would still supersede Live Local, or could we place ourselves in a potential situation for litigation by a developer who is experienced with utilizing Live Local?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I have been only tangentially involved in one Live Local project in the sense of selling a piece of land to somebody who's now building a Live Local project, so I would not pretend to be an expert on, you know, how the developers of Live Local projects think about these things. But in terms of what our intentions is to get a site plan approved as quick as possible, as you saw, get that built, constructed, and open for business. So the actual use of the property ends up being the constraint, you know, because we're not going to convert it once that's developed and all that investment goes in. That's the best I can tell you because of the unfortunate kind of impediment that the Live Local Act brings on into local governments. You guys have limited control. As far as we can negotiate the terms of a deed restriction that covers our bases as best as possible. The goal there would be to make sure that when the property is sold, if that ever occurs, as opposed to maybe the developer holding on to it and just leasing out the square footage that's built, would be that then it would be binding on the title. And how it's enforced, whether the city's given some kind of enforcement rights in that, so it can't be terminated without the city, which haven't done in the past, not necessarily the city, but I've seen the restrictions in the mechanic that have that, where the county had a say in them being released. We can talk about that, because honestly, as long as it's satisfactory to the city in terms of the concern about residential, we don't really care, because we have a plan that we're trying to get. We already have, like I said, the site plan has been submitted for comment. It can't be processed fully until the land use and the zoning are established, but our intentions are, I think, as clear as they could possibly be in terms of the submittals that we've already made and are making and our interaction with staff. But beyond that, you know, with short of a law change in Tallahassee, there's not much you can do.
Right, and you know, just my concern is that it could potentially be a great property for a senior complex. There are developers that are developing absolutely beautiful projects for seniors in locations just like that. And with all of the amenities in the area, to really almost be forced not to agree to have a residential development on there, I have concern about that. Because we have a need for senior housing here, 55 and older.
Absolutely.
And there, again, are absolutely beautiful developments. And I think it's important, and I'm asking these questions really for the record, that City Council understands that even if we approve this tonight, to, as you said, landowners have rights, to restrict it to that level in order to grant annexation is a little bit concerning. Because you do have, and correct me if I'm wrong, council on both parts, if I'm wrong, if the city refused to annex the property, you could exercise the rights of a utility services agreement to provide those utilities to that property, correct?
Yeah, we could still get water if the city decided to break the policy under the settlement agreement. Because the settlement agreement is just so the county can't stop the city from annexing this property because it's in that annexation zone. But in terms of our rights as a landowner to get the water services, it's still within the city's service area. And the statute allows them to charge more for properties that are out of their municipal boundaries but within their service area if necessary. There's upcharge rights under the statute in case you have to extend it out. But it's in your service area, so the city would be still providing those utilities. And I agree with you. We would prefer not to restrict land use in any way other than the zoning and the comp plan, but that doesn't change our intentions to do a commercial development.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just interject. I just want to be clear for the record that it is not a condition of staff's recommendation for approval that a deed restriction be placed on the property.
Oh, absolutely, I know. These are questions that I'm asking for more so for the purposes of City Council. I understand the recommendation on behalf of staff, but I also heard the concern of council. And I know that to continue to delay the process of what your applicant is trying to do, when at the end you still have the option, that's why I raised those questions.
That's a good discussion to have, for sure.
Okay, I have no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Livingston. So we turn to the board. Are there any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, do we have a motion? Just remember, we have to make a motion and vote on each. The future land use amendment followed by the zoning amendment. Do we have a motion for the future land use amendment?
Sure. I make a motion that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find application 6312 consistent with the comprehensive plan and recommend that City Council approve the Plume Amendment from Flagler County Residential High Density and Commercial High Intensity to City of Palm Coast designation of mixed use.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Irene, roll call, please.
Board Member Nicholson.
Yes.
Excuse me. Board Member Ferguson.
Yes.
Board Member Stancil.
Yes.
Vice Chair Albano.
Yes.
Chair Shank.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. And now we will move to the next motion for the zoning amendment. Do we have a motion?
I motion that the final application 631 be consistent with the comprehensive plan. Recommend that the City Council propose zoning map amendment from Flagler County General Commercial C2 and Multifamily Residential R3B to City of Palm Coast General Commercial COM2.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Irene, roll call, please.
Board Member Nicholson.
Yes.
Board Member Ferguson.
Yes.
Board Member Stancil.
Yes.
Vice Chair Albano.
Yes.
Chair Shen.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We will now move to our last, well, it's not I, but is there any board discussion or staff issues? Seeing none, I just want to congratulate.
Yes,
I want to congratulate and welcome Mr. Nguyen as our new planning director for the city of Palm Coast. Thank you so much.
I have two items. I just want to let you know that Mr. Charles Lemon has resigned from the board. And then also glad that at least three members attended the planning officials yesterday. I think that would basically provide you a very comprehensive picture of what we're going to do. We just adopted the 2050 comprehensive plan. So what follows that would be the land development code update. So we're going to bring to you in October, starting October 8th, the workshop on the Chapter 5, Transportation, Connectivity, Access, and Parking. And then that would be part one. Part two would be on your regular meeting, October 15th. And if needs be, that's basically that we continue with that. If not, then we'll bring the next chapter out for that. That would be chapter 7, relating to concurrency management system. So you will see that starting next month, it probably will go through June for all the workshops on all the chapters of the LDC. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you all for your service. Be safe going home.